listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up later, we'll talk to a hate crime expert about last night's shooting at a black church in South Carolina.
First, after much anticipation, a sweeping letter from Pope Francis was released today on the topic of climate change. In it, the Pope acknowledged climate change as a global problem, he said, caused by humans, and he says that we have a moral obligation to do something about it.
It's the first papal encyclical to be focused solely on the environment, and it's a call to action, not just for the 1.2 billion Catholics of the world, but, quote, every person living on this planet, end quote. It's a move, though, that puts him at odds with some political conservatives here in the U.S. who have expressed skepticism over climate change in the past.
Here with us now to talk about the Pope's proclamation and what it could mean going forward is John O'Keefe. He's a professor of theology at Creighton University, where, among other things, he studies environmental theology. John, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So, John, first off, in your opinion, how significant is this document from the Pope?
I think it's profoundly significant. As you mentioned, it's the first papal encyclical devoted exclusively to the environment. Previous popes have mentioned this, but none have written an entire letter on it. It's really timely. I think it's pretty hard-hitting and challenging in all kinds of ways.
And what do you make of the fact that the letter is not just directed at the world's Catholics, but it's directed to every person living on the planet?
Well, that's not totally surprising. Other papal documents have been addressed to people of goodwill around the world, and so that's part of the tradition of some of these documents, is to open it up to a wider audience. I think this is the first one I'm aware of that has been addressed to all the people of the world, though. So that's different, and I really do think the Pope is trying to open up a conversation between Catholics and the rest of the world on the issue of environment and trying to make common cause. So the document contains a lot of stuff that's really for Christians, for Catholic Christians in particular, but it also contains a lot of information. Now, information is the wrong word, but a lot of challenges and reflections on how we might actually enter into conversation with the whole human community.
So let's talk a little bit about the way that the Pope delivered that message. It's something called an encyclical, and it's something not everybody might be familiar with. What is it, and how is it usually used?
Well, in the Roman Catholic Church, the most authoritative voice that can come out of the church is an ecumenical council, which is a gathering of bishops. And the last time that happened was back in the 60s at the Second Vatican Council. They're not very common occurrences. So in like the last 2,000 years, there's only been like 21 of them. So normally when a pope writes or speaks authoritatively from his office, the highest document he can issue is an encyclical. So this is at the top of the food chain in terms of papal authority.
So is this now part of the teaching of the Catholic Church that Catholics are
Absolutely.
Now intended to follow?
Well, they have to take it seriously. Now, yes, certainly, every pope issues encyclicals. And this one is part of a tradition of encyclicals going back to the 19th century, beginning with Rerum Novarum, which forms a body of Catholic social teaching. So it's in that tradition. And there's a lot of these along the way. So Catholics are expected to engage them and think about them and try to internalize them. Now, certainly not every Catholic's going to agree with all of the content, but they're asked, invited, and encouraged to take them as seriously as they can.
Well, let's get into what he said a little bit. One of the most profound things that people are pointing to is that he has made a moral case for climate change action. How significant is that?
Well, I think that's one of the things that religion can do, and Christianity can offer a moral voice to these topics. I mean, science can expose the reality of the problem, but then we need to reflect morally and ethically on what that demands of us, and how are we going to live, and how are we going to change our lives, And it is a moral issue. You know, it's not, I think it's unfortunate in the United States that it's been so politicized, and many people think it's just a part of partisan politics, but it really is about how we live in the world and how in our life on Earth and our life with each other on the Earth and our life with other creatures of the Earth. So it's about as moral as it gets as far as I'm concerned.
But it's something that scientists can't do. Scientists don't make moral cases. They make scientific cases. So in that respect, having a moral aspect to the climate change argument from science, do you think that that makes a sort of a juggernaut for the case to get working on climate change?
Yeah, and I mean, I've thought this for a long time because I've been talking to students about issues of environmental justice and climate and the morality of that and the problems of that for a long time, like coming up on 10 years now. And, you know, I think there's an unfortunate tendency in our culture to pit science and religion against each other rather than to see them as potentially doing common cause. And, you know, science, as I said, can expose these problems, but it's not really, the scientific method isn't designed to reflect ethically. And so, you know, if a religious voice like the Pope's can engage the science with these kinds of ethical concerns, it can be a real powerful combination, I think.
What would you say about the core of Pope Francis's message here today?
Well, I think, first of all, it's certainly an affirmation that we've got a big problem. It's very hard-hitting. It doesn't hold back at all. It acknowledges not only that climate is a problem, but global environmental devastation is a giant problem. And I think this encyclical is coming really from the experience of the developing world, which is actually very new for papal documents. This is the first pope to come out of the developing world, and I think you really can see it in this document. It really expresses the concerns of poverty in the third world. And so he is very careful to link the problems of environmental destruction, including climate change, to the problems of intense and poverty in the developing world. So that's really consistent with everything he's said since he's been pope. Real deep concern for the poor and the needs of the poor and their plight.
And he did come down on the side of science. He referenced scientific studies. Was that a lingering
right.
question?
That
people weren't really sure how he was going to handle that one.
Well, I wasn't. I had no doubt that he would do that because that's really consistent with Catholicism for a long time. I think a lot of people have the impression that there's this war with science, and certainly within some Christian groups there is, that science is seen as opposed to religion, science is opposed to the Bible. But in Catholicism, we've made peace with science a long time ago. So dialogue with science is part of the Catholic tradition. That to me, is not surprising in any way.
Now, the tone of the letter, to talk about that for a little bit, you could characterize it at times as blunt. In one passage, he writes, "The earth, our home, is beginning to look more and more like an immense pile of filth." That's strong language.
Yeah.
Is that unusual for a pope?
I think this is pretty strong. It's not unusual to be strong. I mean, if you read some of the social encyclicals, even of Pope Benedict, who's not known for being a sort of a liberal Catholic, there's some really hard-hitting language in there about consumerism and overconsumption. So these themes are really clear. I read that passage you just referred to, and I immediately thought, I don't know if you've traveled much in the developing world, but there are places that have just been utterly ravished, completely ravished by human exploitation and deforestation, just massive pollution. And this is an experience that people in our part of the world don't have as much. Maybe they did 100 years ago. But people in the part of the world where he comes from, and Cardinal Turkson, who was from Africa, is involved in writing this, comes from. These are real and ongoing problems. So I think he's talking about the devastating impact that unchecked human activity can have on the environment in that passage. And he should be blunt, because that's what's happening.
Do you see the Pope making any enemies with this? On the one hand, he criticized technology and economic interests as being sort of short-term gain over the long term. He criticized cap and trade, a major component of climate change policy right now. So do you think that's going to ruffle any feathers?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. It's already ruffling feathers. I mean, I just came out this morning, so I spent the day kind of reading through the document. I haven't even had time to really look at the fallout. But, yeah, there will always be that kind of thing. All of the encyclicals produce that kind of blowback, and it doesn't surprise me. I mean, this was one of the things that's really interesting about this document is that even before it was published, I mean, months before it was published, there were people trying to refute it, which is bizarre that you would try to refute a document that didn't exist. But now that it does exist, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of pressure from certain circles, and a lot of people won't like it.
We're talking right now with theologian John O'Keefe from Creighton University. On our minds today is the encyclical from Pope Francis addressing the issue of climate change and what he says we as humans should be doing about it.
You could join in with your questions, your comments at 800-642-1234. What do you think about the Pope's call to action on climate change? Do you think we as humans have a moral obligation to do something about climate change, as the Pope has said? If so, how would you like to see that translated into action? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up the conversation in just a moment. But first, a check of the latest headlines with Noah Ovshinsky from WPR News.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're talking right now about Pope Francis and his call to action on climate change. His 184-page open letter was released today, and in that letter, he reframes environmental stewardship as a moral and a spiritual concern.
What do you think? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Do you agree with the Pope? Are you glad to see this call? Or do you think, as some, including presidential candidates here in the United States, do you think the Pope should stay out of these sort of scientific and political issues? What kind of action would you like to see taken on climate change? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can post also on the Central Time Facebook page.
And John, critics of the Pope, some have said that he's really got no business wading into the debate over the environment and climate change, that this is maybe an area that theologians should stay out of. And some of these people running for office for president, how would you respond to those critiques?
Well, I mean, if you're running for president, you have to be political, right? But I'm not running for president, so I don't need to be political. I don't really see how you can separate how we live as in common, which is the, sort of the essence of political life, with moral questions. And what is going to happen to the world that we inhabit is a deeply moral question. And I mean, I have four children, and I think a lot about their future. And I mean, I don't want to be one of those people that, you know, 20 years from now, they look at me and with disgust about what I didn't do. And one of the things that's really interesting in this letter, I mean, this is actually a theme that goes back to Pope Benedict, is this idea of intergenerational justice, that we have a moral obligation to care for the generations yet to come and to put them in the formula and not think just about short-term gain. So, you know, those guys, those politicians, that's what they need to do to survive, I suppose, but I don't think that really changes the reality that this is maybe the deepest moral problem ever to face the human race.
And you mentioned families, children, and interesting, in this document, the Pope said the problem isn't overpopulation. That's sort of a stand-in,
right,
for not addressing the bigger problems. What are your thoughts on that stance?
Yeah, you know, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, you know, the Catholic Church has controversial positions on population control. And I read that section really carefully, and it seems to me, you know, what they're trying to say is that we don't want to, what he's really after is reducing or challenging the idea of overconsumption. And what he was saying is that it's not enough just to reduce the population of the earth. What we need to do is think about living more sustainably on the earth and taking care of the people who are here already. So just thinking about the problem as, oh, if only we could just keep living the way we're living and get rid of the 2 billion people at the bottom of the world, then everything would be fine, is a mistake. And I think he's right about that. That's not what we need.
We go now
we've got a problem of overconsumption.
And we're going to go now to our callers. We've got Tina on the line in Mount Horeb. Hi, Tina.
Hi there. I think that this a role for him to do this. We're supposed to, you know, take care of the earth and each other, and just all of the different religious teachings that are out there. It seems to fall in line with it. I mean, I haven't read what exactly he said, but the one thing that's been kind of cool about him in general is just all of these different statements that are just considered so amazing by, or shocking, considered so shocking by some. But
got it, Tina. Thank you for that. And Tina's comments remind me of a little soundbite from the NPR newscast saying that this positions him as a major geopolitical player. Do you see this as doing that for his role right now?
Yeah, I do. And I was thinking about this the other day, and I really do like Pope Francis. I'll just go on record for that. But he's really used the role that he's been given very well. And I'm frankly amazed at the interest globally in this document. I mean, it is routine, really, for popes to issue encyclicals. I mean, you don't have a papacy without an encyclical unless the Pope dies or something. It's just part of what they do. But I've never in my whole career now seen this much interest in a papal document. So I think it says a lot about his personality.
And do you see this Pope as just getting started on this, or do you think what he has done today is going to be hard to top?
I think it's going to be hard to top. I mean, if he stays Pope, you know, longer, he will certainly issue another encyclical. I don't know what it will be about, but this is a real achievement, I think, and very important. I think it's going to be. We're going to be talking about it for a long time. I'm really looking forward to a careful, slow read and sharing it with my students and things like that. It's a very significant document, I think.
And as we wrap up, what sort of reaction have you seen from Catholics so far to this?
Well, most of the reaction I've been getting is from Twitter. And the people that I follow are all just very, very happy about this and really excited. I mean, I've been following for a long time the work of the Catholic climate people in D.C. And there is this Catholic, the St. Francis Pledge, I think they just renamed themselves, but there's that, and there's the Ignatian Solidarity Network, and I'm part of a network of Jesuit universities, and there's been a very strong interest in environmental stuff for a while now, and we're just, all of us are so happy to see it rise to this level of attention. So the feedback I'm getting is just overwhelmingly positive, and I know that's not universal, but it's certainly people that I'm associated with, people are feeling pretty good about this.
And just briefly, now that the Pope has gotten this message out to the more than 1 billion Catholics, what do you hope happens next?
Well, I think the best thing that could happen, really, the people that need to hear this most are the people that live in the developed world, you know, the Catholics like me. And I think what I hope happens is that people listen and really begin to reform their lives. So the last chapter is really a call to change. And I think that's what needs to happen. We really need to think comprehensively about what we're doing and how we're living on this world.
John, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That was John O'Keefe, professor of theology at Creighton University, where, among other things, he studies environmental theology. He joined us to talk about the Pope's call to action on climate change.